Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Monday morning, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We're joined today by Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. Good morning, all.
Hi, Ray.
Hey there.
The email address here is roundtable. It was somewhat less than enthusiastic.
No, I was enthusiastic.
Email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org if you want to send your enthusiastic greetings. The email address, that is it. If you want to go to our website, we love that as well. WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. There's a spot to comment on the topics we talk about today. First off is this situation in Sydney, Australia. Police in Sydney say negotiators are talking with a gunman who has been holding an unknown number of hostages inside a cafe for something like 12 or 14 hours now. Five people have managed to escape. I believe that number is now up. Police say they don't know the gunman's motive. Apparently, authorities do know the gunman's identity. Two people were seen inside early on last night when this broke, holding up a black flag with Islamic Declaration of Faith written on it. And this is all marked by questions, whether this is terrorism-related or this is just a for lack of a better term, a nut.
Well, apparently this person has a shotgun with him as opposed to an automatic rifle. Didn't know enough to have an official IS sign, and so brought something else with him, and one of his demands is that somebody send in an official one. The terrible part of this, Ray, is that the people he's got can be dead. You know, I mean, you can have a lunatic or you can
have
somebody
with
a political thing.
Right.
They can be dead as a result of this. And that makes every person, which I think may be the point, wonder what you would do if such a person came here or there and how we would handle it.
Yeah, the horror to me is this is in a chocolate shop in a cool city. I could be one of those people easily inside. And this is another lone wolf attack. There have been several in Australia over the past month. And that's why the police are out there in such force. They've actually been training for just this sort of lone wolf attack. So it is kind of terrifying. And no matter the seriousness of this guy in there, it doesn't really matter. That's sort of
true.
What makes
it serious
horrible
to the people in that room.
Exactly. Right.
However, his demand, he has two demands that we know of. One is the ISIS flag,
yeah,
which if you are in fact a lone wolf, you might want to get the flag before you start. Two, he wants to talk to Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Now, it seems if this was a focused ISIS-related attack or Al-Qaeda, that there would be a little more focus involved.
Well, you know, you just don't know. I mean, that's the thing here. The most dangerous thing is that the ISIS people apparently are saying, encouraging
right
individual people, often with questionable cognitive abilities, to do this. And as you said, Ray, this is what they're watching out for. But what can they do about it? I mean, you can be sure that they've got something going on in which they hope to grab their people out of there. But that's very dangerous, too.
I love a reaction that's going on in Australia. Muslims, like regular, normal, not crazy Muslims, which are most of them, are very much under attack. And one woman was seen removing her hijab, unveiling herself as she went on a public transport because she was afraid. So other Australians have begun an I'll ride with you program. You can wear your religious, get-ups, and they will ride with you to show support and to ward off crazies. I think that's sort of a great thing, and it counters what ISIS is trying to do, which is to encourage sympathizers around the world and in bizarre places to make these kind of attacks.
And some of these young people who are going for it don't really have it all together.
They don't understand what it is that they're doing, nor what's being told to them. They just are getting swept up in the romance of
it's
revolution.
It's like movie stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And the folks from ISIS or ISIL or the Islamic State or whatever we're calling them this week, you know, they understand how to push people's buttons.
The other thing about this attack that had us talking was the location. Sydney, I mean, what does Sydney have to do at all in world politics, in the Middle East? It's not a player in any of this. I mean, it does really emphasize that these sort of things can happen anywhere. Duluth, Minnesota could be next. I mean, it has as much relevance as Sydney.
But much more likely will be New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So what does one do to defend against a lone wolf? You can't clamp down everything.
No, but the one thing about Sydney is that it is a cultural center, and it's a Western cultural center, which is one of the things they do rail against. So that could be one thing. But what do you do about this kind of thing? I mean, that's where gun control would come in really handy, or whatever they're calling it now, gun safety or gun regulation or gun whatever. But if somebody wants to do this, they're going to do it. They're going to find their way to get a gun. They're going to do whatever it is they're going to do. They're going to walk into a coffee shop and they're going to terrorize people. The issue is, what's the end game here? And, you know, they could put some guy on saying he's Tony Abbott and then storm the place, you know, but they have to be careful and protect the lives of the folks that are in there. It's interesting that people have been able to escape. I wonder how that's happening.
Well, we don't know that. Yeah,
and we don't know whether he thought this was too many people to hold on.
Yeah, he may have let them go. We don't know, and we don't know any of the intelligence that those people who got out must have, like how many people in total are being held and what the guy is saying.
According to CNN, they know who it is, at least. And so we're not seeing that on the wire as yet, but CNN is reporting that. The first two that were released or escaped appear to be employees of the Lindt Cafe.
Yeah, they said there were 10 employees in the cafe who were captured by this. Anyway, it's hard to talk about this story since there's so much yet we don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll be watching it on the news and over the wires, and we'll have the latest for you via the BBC and NPR, et cetera, et cetera. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. The producers of James Bond films say an early version of the screenplay for the new movie Spectre is among the material stolen in the massive cyber attack on Sony Pictures Entertainment. Eon Productions says it's concerned that third parties who received the screenplay might try to publish it. There's been speculation that North Korea is behind the cyber attack in retaliation for the upcoming comedy The Interview, which depicts an assassination attempt on North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And there was a fascinating opinion piece in the New York Times yesterday. Maybe it appeared in print today, I'm not sure, by Aaron Sorkin.
I read it.
Journalists shouldn't help the Sony hackers. We'll talk about that next on The Roundtable.
Support comes from Ward's Nursery and Christmas Shop, Great Barrington, Holiday Country Decor, Lights, Ornaments, and Candles, Mini Zoo, Santa's Workshop, and a Greenhouse of Flowers, wardsnursery.com. The Urgent Care Centers of Middletown Medical, providing walk-in medical care with no appointment, daytime, evening, and weekend hours in Middletown, Ellenville, and now in Chester, middletownmedical.com. Community Foundation for the Greater Capital Region, working to connect donors with nonprofit organizations through philanthropic guidance and charitable stewardship. Your generosity, our stewardship, cfgcr.org. And The Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com.
Striking 70s sounds of Lettuce as our bumper music this morning. Thank you, Mr. Hopper. It's the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:20 is the time. On a Monday morning, the Roundtable panel consists this morning of Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Quoting here from the Washington Post, Sony Pictures warns news organizations to destroy stolen emails and documents. After days of silence, Sony Pictures Entertainment acknowledged a voluminous, embarrassing leak of internal emails and other materials on Sunday, warning numerous media outlets in a strongly worded letter against publishing or using the stolen corporate data exposed by unidentified hackers. The company threatened legal action against news organizations that failed to heed its request, a strategy some legal scholars say would have a rough time passing muster under the First Amendment. So, in light of that, Aaron Sorkin wrote an opinion piece for the New York Times. The Sony Hack and the Yellow Press is the title. And he says, journalists should not help the Sony hackers. Who wants first dibs on this?
Well, we've had many things that have been published in the public interest. I completely understand what Sorkin is saying. It's very, it hurts when people grab your tape or your this or that and use it in an unscrupulous manner to titillate the public, and that's exactly what's going on here. On the other hand, the history of this country, we wouldn't have known about Daniel Ellsberg, for example, would we?
We would have known about Ellsberg. He did the stealing. We wouldn't have had the Pentagon Papers.
Exactly.
But that was... That's so totally different than this.
Yes, it is. Okay, so would you do?
Come on. It's, the Pentagon Papers, the other kind of brave journalism that's happened during our history to further the cause of democracy and public awareness of government is one thing. This is just corporate leak.
What would you do?
Secrets.
Okay, you're the emperor. What would you do? Would you say to the New York Times and everybody else, you are not to use any of this material?
I would strongly suggest that they not use the material because it's not... What
just what corporate America needs is the concurrence of the press to make sure that secrets stay secret.
Wait, one at a time.
What good is it going to do anybody that Rudin and that other person had this conversation and called Angelina Jolie a spoiled brat, other than to make it titillating and other than for us to feed into our fascination with celebrity? All this does is in continue our fascination with celebrity and not real important issues.
That's not all it does. It shows that at the highest level of entertainment of Hollywood, there's racism. I did not know that. I have read
you
all
didn't
of
know
the,
that? Come on. Oh, what rock have you been on?
Libby, will you please let the lady finish?
Come on.
I do not think that corporate America needs any help from the press in keeping their secrets or in doing their job for them. This is a Sony problem. They did not have the protection they needed, and now their stuff is out. And they're not that harmed. All of this has increased attention to Sony. It's brought them sympathy from people who should not be sympathetic to them. And even if the script of the Bond film comes out, oh, so what? No one's going to come to the next Bond film? They always go. You, it's not like you have to keep it a big secret.
But isn't that intellectual property?
It's an intellectual property, and they were hacked, and there should be action against the hackers, and that apparently is going on.
You can find them in Mongolia.
They're working on it, and that's
Korea.
North Korea.
We don't know where the hackers are.
Yeah, they are zeroing in on them. If you read through this whole long article in the New York Times today, they have located the servers, and they're going to figure it out. And this needs to be figured out for all kinds of cyber attacks. And the press, unlike what Sorkin says, has indeed covered the whole hack as a serious issue.
Okay, but let's just say a very wonderful and brilliant associate professor of communication or journalism.
Who that might be.
No, I'm just making this up hypothetically. Okay. Nobody individual would be writing her candid thoughts to others that she, in the most confidential way, about things. And then let's just say that the New York POST or some other disgusting piece of trash gets a hold of it and publishes it to show what all professors are like. This woman. Now I'm going to ask you something, Rosemary, because I'm just suggesting this hypothetically. What if that were you? What would you do? Would you be furious that somebody had interceded on your most basic private and communicative thoughts?
No, I would not have put those on the internet, as to quote Libby.
To a friend?
You didn't know that?
In a personal letter?
That's not what happened. They were communicating by email, which is not secure, which has always been known as a sort of postcard. You can write a postcard to one person, but you should not be surprised that others can read what's in there. So if this material is so incredibly cannot be revealed to the public, it'll hurt Sony. Why is it all on the internet on a system that's not protected?
Except that, I think they thought that they were protected, number one. That's,
okay.
they probably did think that they had their security. Sure. But how else? I mean, using snail mail to communicate in a regular typed up letter puts any corporation at a disadvantage because everybody else is using instant communications methods.
Yeah, because the executives should send their the executives should send their little barbs about the president's taste in movies.
You guys are breaking all the rules here. Yeah, one and then the other.
The fact of the matter is that, you know, email, electronic communications is the way people do business these days. And so if you have to go back to the slower process, you lose money. I'm not, you know, saying all the corporations are always good. I just think that this is not news. I don't think that this is hard news in terms of what's in the email. The fact that the hacking happened, yes. The fact that it's because of this movie, sure. But to give up intellectual property like this, I don't think it's the way to go. It's not, for me, okay. It's not what journalism's about.
Okay, now I hear you. However, I've been there. I don't want to say where, but I've been there. Now, let's just say it's WAMC here. And we get a letter from probably the best lawyer in the country on this issue. And then say, if you use this material, we will sue you. Now, here are places that have oodles of money.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough money
to sue
everybody and sue us. Would we hear at this radio station, in which we could be put out of business by such a lawsuit, pull in our horns? Would we be less likely to use it? And that's where this kind of corporate bullyism gets scary to me.
What about this? Now, social security numbers, home addresses, medical records,
right.
Computer passwords, bank account details, all that stuff stolen. Let me ask a question to journalists. Whether or not the press as a whole, as a monolith, releases that social security type information, are they aiding and abetting someone who committed an obvious crime by releasing any of it?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Somebody steals material from you. And then the press says, well, that's not our material, so therefore we can use it and we can republish it. That is, of course, to me, at least, wrong.
Sort of like the guy who drives the getaway car. You know, he's still held responsible.
Rosemary has a different view, and I did ask you, so go ahead.
You did ask me, so I may speak now. I think this is all just ridiculous. I think the material that comes out is only what is being printed is interesting stuff. We're not seeing long lists of budgets or of people's salaries. We have not seen that, or it's definitely not their social security numbers. It's not news. I'm always nervous when people in the press say, this is what's good for the public. This is journalism. Journalism is interesting stuff, and this is interesting stuff. It's out because of their own problem that the corporate America does not need the help of the press.
So calling Angelina Jolie a spoiled brat is interesting stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
For most people, it is.
Intently. Did
and
you see the clicks
help
on
her.
It?
And the idea that everybody is talking about this third-rate comedy about the great leader in Korea.
It's going to be good for profits.
More people will go to see that film as a result of this than you could possibly.
Not in North Korea. All right, we're done for this half hour. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address if you want to weigh in. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Back with Libby, Alan, and Rosemary after the news. The band Lettuce, by the way. Lettuce.
Like
I like that.
Lettuce.
I believe so. Is that right? Yeah, like the vegetable? That's nice. Good stuff.
Vegetable.
70s sort of Starsky and Hutch music. It's the Roundtable, or it could be a Quinn Martin production. It's 9:35 on a Monday morning. The Roundtable panel, political consultant Libby Post, journalist Rosemary Armeo, and WAMC's own bon vivant Alan Chartok. Ray Graff here in for Joe Donahue. We have letters, Alan.
Okay, from James, who says, I don't think Angelina Jolie being a brat is interesting. I don't care much about actors and their lives. I'd rather know more about how a company who would obviously have massive security to their system was hacked and lost so much info, and how the common person doesn't have that kind of security, and how much of our personal data is farmed. And then Rich says, I would rather see information on secret caucus meetings that elected government officials have at all levels. What they talk about in private and not at open meetings at all levels is important. And we should know that. And our old friend Tina Araka says, regarding the Sony leak, let's not forget that news is a business. Of course, the media is going to report on these emails. It's a story. And quite frankly, considering the racial divide in this country at the moment, I think it is important to know who the racists are, especially those that pretend to be fair-minded believers in equality. Okay. And then it goes on, but that's enough because it goes over... Even though she's my very good friend, yeah, 40 characters.
Okay,
yeah.
So keep them brief, folks.
Keep them brief, yeah. Okay. Mike says, great discussion. I feel that the national media is encouraging these illegal hackers by making the story about the substance of these private emails. As a liberal and someone with a sense of humor, I particularly point out the email regarding President Obama. What I got from that email exchange was the correspondents was making fun of themselves as white people, in the same vein as done on the TV show All in the Family. And EJ says, hey, guys, I love all of you. Second, love the topics discussed on the show. Have to say, though, I'm with Libby on this Angie situation. Even though I love her as an actress and admittedly like to read about her, there are other things more important in the world going on. Talking about her and what someone is calling her is like our governor discussing gun control with Jay-Z, laughing out loud, very, very silly. And John says, hello, all.
Hello.
The free computer program PGP Encryption will encrypt your email, and at one time, those three-lettered government agencies weren't even able to read it.
Yep.
And that's John from
Stephentown. That goes back to the 90s.
Those days are over.
Yeah. And that's John from Stephentown, the only one in America, except they stole the sign, and that said it was the only one in America. It's never been replaced. Hmm. I went through there the other day. Okay. And then Irene says, why did the U.S. Senate Democrats cave into the budget demands of the Republicans?
Ah!
Ramifications down the road.
That's foreshadowing of what's coming next.
You bet. And Rich said, we already read what Rich said.
Yeah, thanks,
okay.
Rich.
Someone should explain to Rosemary the difference between the internet and a private network. The hacked emails were not on the internet. That's right.
They went through the internet to get into their server.
Right.
Come on.
Which admittedly was a crime, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And they should be prosecuted and hunted down, and that's a story, too, when it's being covered.
Yeah. But why should the media benefit from the products of a crime? That's
well, no, I happen to agree
with this kind of crime. This kind of stupid crime.
No, I don't like it either, Rosemary. I don't like it either.
Yeah, but there's no way to define this is good and here it's bad. It's just like the mainstream media trying to say it's okay if we print it, but it shouldn't be in the tabloids. When they try that, you end up with blanket bans against everyone using this material. Far better that we get to all use it. Because you cannot separate the Angelina Jolie comments from the Pentagon Papers in a law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Tom says, and I'm only reading one of his,
okay.
I'm surprised at the lack of security at a company that you would think to be more savvy.
Yes.
And Torben says, we should note that the gunman has taken hostage with a shotgun, not with an AR-15 or similar military-grade weapon. I did say that, by
yes,
the
way. Yes, you did, right away.
Not with a handgun with a high-capacity magazine. These things are easy to get in the USA, where Australia had the political will, even seeing some politicians lose their job, because it was the right thing to do to pass sweeping gun control laws. I'm so sorry. That worked. And let's see. Ryan, this is interesting. Ryan said, good morning.
Good morning.
When I was in the Boy Scouts, we earned merit badges for things such as emergency preparedness and first aid. I remember I was a Boy Scout.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. As scary as it might be, I wonder if such awareness training concerning these, quote, terrorist attacks, could become the norm or requirement in scouting preparedness. It is important that individuals know how to comport themselves in any emergency situation.
Hmm. So you were a Boy Scout?
Yes, I was.
You know all the first aid?
Well, no. I got a lot of merit badges.
Can you apply a tourniquet to my career?
Probably.
Because it's hemorrhaging.
I thought that already happened.
Probably
I could. No, it's bleeding pretty hard.
Probably. And morning roundtable. When it is promoting Hollywood's overpriced, shabby products, let's sing the praises of the press. Then, with the tawdry tabloids turn on the industry that relies on the acquiescence of the press, bites the hand of the industry that feeds the tabloid beast and keeps it alive, then Hollywood cries foul. Ooh, live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah, why aren't we, you know, I guess you did bring it up, Alan, screaming about lawyers who are absolutely bullying or trying to chill the press by saying, oh, you try this, print this stuff, and we'll take you to court, even though I all the scholars say, no, the First Amendment would protect the press.
Bob says, you know, look, you and I have a little bit of a difference.
Oh, I like
a little
this.
Bit.
Keep
yes.
going. Yes.
When you get people like Rupert Murdoch, who owns the New York Post, or Zuckerman, who owns the Daily News. These are millionaires who have their own agendas, and you know, the idea of freedom of the press. I love the concept because it applies to the New York Times. The New York Times deserves it because they're worthy of it. But these other newspapers, they sell 700,000 a day, and they're nothing more than propaganda pieces.
It's corporate journalism.
Well, I don't defend
and
that.
It's not well, but that's what's going on here.
And
it's
if they
corporate
were leaked,
journalism and look, take a look at how journalism covers politics, and you
exactly.
see you see a bias. You see,
oh please,
you know, oh please, I'm
you're
right.
exactly right.
Right?
What?
You
what?
See a bias.
Rupert Murdoch
all the
doesn't
time.
Want to kill every
that's
Democrat.
Right. That's
well,
right.
I mean, emotionally, I wouldn't mean with
you're
a gun.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But it's true that he wants to wipe out the people he thinks is impacting or are impacting his bottom line in his pocketbook. So it's anybody from the center to the left. And so corporate journalism is not what we grew up with. It's not Thomas Paine. It's not what the founding fathers were thinking about when they said freedom of the press. Now, I'm all for freedom of the press. I want
you don't sound
active
like
journalism.
You are.
No, I want active journalists, but we have to recognize what media monopoly has brought in terms of coverage and skewing the American public. All you need to do is look at Fox News.
Or read the Post.
Well, it's the same thing.
Or listen to NPR.
Stop it, will you please? NPR is not a biased news organization. They bend over backwards. In fact, my view of NPR is they are so scared of the Republicans taking over
the
Senate and not getting the money
right.
That they have been rather lame lately. So what could I say?
All right, so are we moving on from the Sony thing?
No. Just I'm just trying to get it all. It's very hard.
All right, while you do that, let me ask you this, Rosemary. You remember that basketball owner in Los Angeles said racist things in a phone conversation? Not good things. They were bad things. They were reported widely in the press.
And his silly little girlfriend turned him in. Yeah,
right. But illegally recorded, because I believe in California you have to have mutual consent to record a call. So
press got all the blame, and she was never prosecuted.
But the press didn't get too much. That whole angle was not covered very long because of what he said. Is the press the gatekeeper that says, okay, this was surreptitiously gotten, illegally gotten, but we have a right to know this information?
If you can prove that you did not steal the material yourself or induce someone to steal it, the courts have ruled, this goes back to the Pentagon Papers, that you are able to use the material. The problem is, I mean, I can't defend corporate journalism. I can't defend some of these stories that come out. The problem is defining this is good and this is bad. Write this,
don't
write
this. So who gets to do that,
this.
Rosemary?
No one gets to. Our system is it's all fair game and it's up to the press.
Well, I hope it never happens to you. It's happened to me, and I didn't like it.
Well, of course you don't like it, and it has happened to me. I lost a job over something that I wrote on the internet, which I would still defend to this day. So, of course it happens, and I had no recourse to go into court and say, oh, they didn't have the right to print my letter to a private person who was writing to the newspaper. Hmm. You don't have that right.
And you weren't outraged?
Was I outraged? I lost a great job. Yeah, of course I was hurt by it. But I don't want to see any court. I don't want to see any politician saying, this is what you can print. This is what you can't. This is the kind of material you can take, leaked or otherwise. This is the kind of material you can't. I don't want any politician doing that.
Okay, and Margaret writes, some parts of the country are complaining about the police overtime as they are used for protesting events. Protesting is on the rise, and not just over police illegalities. Peaceful protests require less police. Protests are important.
Well, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Well, that's
today.
All right.
Okay.
Well, yes, okay, and you're right.
All right, let's take a break. A roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. If you want to stick to the topics we're talking about, that's good too. We'll be back.
Support comes from Pioneer Post and Beam, a non-kit post and beam builder in Belchertown, Massachusetts, designing and erecting customized barns, artist studios, garages, and additions. PioneerPostandBeam.com. Healthy Living Market and Cafe, a family-owned natural food market providing natural and organic foods, now open 7 days a week at the Wilton Mall, HealthyLivingMarket.com. Downtown Schenectady Improvement Corporation, featuring shopping, dining, and entertainment at Downtown Schenectady's independent businesses throughout the holiday season, DowntownSchenectady.org. And East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs. Massage for couples and individuals, eastheaven.com.
Yeah, that's my new favorite band right there. That's Lettuce
with
on the
mayonnaise,
round table.
With mayonnaise and tomato.
A little bacon on there. Oh, delicious. Lettuce on the round table. 9:46 is the time. It's a music fest. It's a gab fest. It's a coffee klatch. It's the round table panel. Rosemary Armeo's here. Libby Post, Alan Chartok, and Ray Graff. The Senate has sent President Obama a spending bill to fund nearly the entire government for the rest of the fiscal year that ends September 30th. The $1.1 trillion bill passed a 56-40 vote last night after conservative Republicans failed in a perhaps largely symbolic challenge to the administration's new immigration policy. Couched in all that were the battles on both sides between the more extreme portions of the Republicans and the Democrats. And there's a great piece today in the Washington Post, Democrats divided on their path to 2016. Now, Hillary has been the presumptive for a good long time now.
Right.
So now you have Elizabeth Warren, who is leaping to prominence quickly in the liberal circles, saying not once but four times, according to CNN, she's not running for president. Doth the lady protest too much, Alan?
No, I don't think she's running for president. I think she's a lady of great integrity and doesn't want to do it. And here's what here's the way I parse this. We know that the Democrats have a lot of people who turn out in primaries who are progressive in nature. That's what makes them turn out in primaries, just as the Republican right-wingers tend to turn out in Republican primaries. Therefore, we saw in a squeaker Barack Obama beat Hillary Clinton the last time. The same divide is there now. Now, Bernie Sanders has told me on our air that he's going to run for president. Because somebody has to do this side of it. But here's the deal, and I wrote a column saying this in the Berkshire Eagle last week on Saturday. Go to berkshireeagle.com if you want to.
Oh, there's a plug.
If you want to.
All right.
But my point is this: let's say Elizabeth Warren becomes the presidential candidate with her wonderful, and I do mean it, and I might have to vote for her in a primary, views. And wins the nomination. Will she win if the Republicans have a centrist? No. The Democrats will lose. But even worse. So now you may have a choice between Ted Cruz, who knows what about, or that great centrist Chris Christie, versus Elizabeth Warren. Chris Christie wins. So is it better to have Hillary Clinton, who comes with a middle range view, than Elizabeth Warren? I think Warren knows that.
I don't care about any of this. It's way too soon.
It isn't too soon. Because this is when, Rosemary, in all due respect for you, and you know, God knows how much respect I have for you, this is the process. And if you don't intervene at key moments in the process, you can't dismiss it as being too soon. Because this is the discussion that's going on right now.
This is all media generated. I don't hear this. I don't hear that. This is where the media should be shut down, this
right,
kind of stuff.
This is a good point.
Oh, wait a second.
Okay,
four times she denied it. That means there's reporters everywhere not listening to what Elizabeth Warren is saying, which is about Wall Street and about the spending bill. It's about whether she's going
to
run.
They're trying to create a story.
Let me ask you a question, Rosemary.
This is bad, so I can criticize the press too, Libby.
Let me ask the panel. You make a great point. It being media generated, is it? Now, we have...
Yes.
Hang on. Let me parse the question. So, for years, the Tea Party has been a strident wing of the Republicans. They, regardless of their numbers, they make a loud noise. Now, in this $1.1 trillion spending fight, the liberal wing of the Democrats made a very loud noise. Mm-hmm. Yet the majority of that party went, and the president presumably will sign the bill. So is it media generated? Has this more partisan side, the further afield sides of the political parties, always been there and the media is just focusing this? Or is this something new which may project into the 2016 election?
I think you're talking about two different things. If you're talking about how liberals are now asserting themselves in the Democratic Party, that is certainly a story, a very interesting one. We saw that in New York State with Zephyr Teachout. That's the same thing happening.
It's unbelievable.
I'm talking about, is Jeb going to run? Is Rand Paul going to run? Is Elizabeth Warren running for president? Is Hillary going to say yes or no? That's the stuff.
Is George Pataki
I don't
running
care.
For president?
Yeah, I don't care.
And but do you
this
care?
This is why I think I'm not alone in this. A lot of Americans
may not care, but this is the process. This is the process that we're going. And let me tell you something. Americans who know way too little about politics get to know who the contenders are here.
But the other part of this is I don't care. You know, and the rest of America doesn't care. That's why not many people come out to vote. I mean, it's really part of the apathy. But I want to go back to something that Ray said. And no.
What was my question?
It hasn't always been that we've had these radical right voices or radical left voices. You know, this is the inability for bipartisanship started with Newt Gingrich and the Contract on America and during the Clinton administration. You know, before then, people reached across the aisle and did work together. And what we had in 2010 was the rise of racism taking on a political voice called the Tea Party. And so now you have these people who are totally on all ends of each spectrum, no longer pushing the middle to the center, which is where we are as a country, but trying to instill their agenda on the rest of the country. And we see it in the Tea Party, and we see it in, and they're the same people as the radical Christian right. They're the same exact people. And so it used to be where we had bipartisanship in this country, and we had people reaching across the aisle to get something done, and we don't have that anymore.
I would suggest that it perhaps is dangerous to label all those in the Tea Party as racist.
Well,
I believe it is a states' rights issue.
I'm sorry. It was born out of the fact that we have a black man in the White House, and people are angry at that. They don't want some black guy telling them what to do. That's why the Tea Party came to be. It had nothing to do with anything else.
Huh. We had one interesting letter from Bonnie, who said, folks, heard her on BBC Elizabeth Warren this AM state emphatically 3 times, I'm not running for president, all in capital letters. She refused to put a tense on those words. Thus, if she's not running for 2016, perhaps 2020, yours from Bonnie.
Thanks, Bonnie. We appreciate it. Although I think that, you know, you say you don't care and most people don't care, and you're right. Most people don't care. However, the people who fund these campaigns care, and this is the time when the funding begins.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And so,
good point.
Even if the general public sort of trails along, those who pay the money.
And this budget enables people with the money to be able to put 3 times the amount of money behind candidates.
And by the way, don't think the Clintons don't know all about this.
Sure.
Because they sure as heck
it's
do.
Just that
and always have.
There's not as many Democrats with that kind of money as there are Republicans with that kind of money.
Well, but that's right. And so what happens now is as Ray may be suggesting here, I never want to speak for him.
No, please don't.
Yeah. But as Ray may be suggesting here, there are alternatives that are being set up. And the money that you're talking about, Libby, now goes to one candidate or another, sometimes preemptively.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to stop this right now.
Right.
And that's why, while it does seem mundane and annoying to talk about, whether it's Jeb or Romney or whoever, the people who lost a lot of money putting money on Romney last time are now thinking, well, what do I do? And it'll have to shake out very soon.
Well, it'll shake out because there's this robust discussion going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I reject categorically
and
emphatically what Rosemary said about I don't care. Because
Ho-hum, what were you saying?
I'll
join the discussion in a couple months.
No, I mean, you know, this is what shapes... this is... Not that Alan and I are going to be the ones to make the decision, but more and more people talk about this now. Gets people engaged in the political process, and they and not to say I don't care, because the I don't care attitude is what gets us in real trouble, because people don't come out to vote.
I think the proof is on my side about whether they're engaged or not by this so-called robust discussion.
I understand that, but the problem is that people are not engaged, and people need to be engaged.
Because we're not talking about the right stuff.
But let's try to remember who he, Barack Obama, who he, mm-hmm. if the press hadn't been along for the ride and had made this into an intellectual contest, maybe they shouldn't have, but they did. And Barack Obama is now the president of the country, not once, twice.
You make my argument.
What?
That the media was totally in love with the novelty of him and his wonderful rhetoric.
That's why Bill
and
Clinton got
the
elected
discussion
too.
All
it
changed.
And
they all did. Carter did too. Carter was a peanut farmer and rose to prominence.
But a nuclear physicist as well.
He is.
He was. Yeah. On a nuclear sub.
I didn't know it was a nuclear.
He
was
a protege. He was a protege of Hyman Rickover.
Right, yeah. He could not say nuclear, but he was a nuclear physicist.
I thought that was George.
No. Before the press got all over George W. But Jimmy Carter. To this day. So
it was interesting. Well, someone said on the news the other day that Carter's had the longest post-presidency of any president.
No, there's been polls that say he's the best ex-president there ever was.
Well, he did so much
playing
more
by
as
the
an
rules.
Yeah, he was certainly an underachiever while he was in office.
Yeah.
He certainly isn't.
You know, Ray always, before we come in here, Ray always says, listen, I'm a newsman. Do not compromise me. Do not compromise me. Do not ask me questions which are going to make me political. Then he says, certainly, what did you say? Certainly the.
I don't remember what I said.
You said he's done more as an ex-president.
No, I didn't say that.
I said that.
No, but Ray had a shot. Ray took a shot.
Well, we'll rewind and see.
He was a bit of an underachiever in office. That was all I said.
Right.
Well, I mean, the gas lines were a good thing, right?
I thought that Iran thing was pretty good, too. By the way, breaking news in Australia.
Yeah, what do you got?
The hostage taker is an Iranian who had been granted asylum in Australia.
And what is your source on this? Sony?
We're not saying we can't
BBC.
Say. We can't. Oh, is that right?
Yes.
BBC is there? Yeah.
Why can't we say?
Sony?
Well, because if we're sitting here watching the CNN, you know, that might be.
If
not,
you say it's CNN is reporting,
you know, if we certainly do
not
that.
CNN. As I said, my source was BBC
okay.
is reporting.
And you've said that, and that's great. And the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Oh, what fun we have, huh?
We do. That's what's so great about this. It's all fun.
We have about a minute left.
There are some people who don't like the fact that we go back and forth.
I did not have that much fun.
Come on.
No, I feel totally beat up on. I got bookends yelling in my ear
here. Sorry. You know what, Rosemary? We're gonna move your seat for the next
Thank
one.
Thank you. Yes.
I won't be here until Monday, so you'll have the whole thing to yourself.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I think there's some problem with some people whose families didn't throw plates at their annual dinners, and therefore they're used
they
to
They just don't get it.
Serenity
decorum.
Now, insanity later, right?
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
This felt a lot like one of my family holiday dinners, actually.
Well, we're just gearing you up.
Well, wait until the fish
little,
course. It'll
you know,
be great.
Training.
You know? All right, we're done.
Preseason training.
I'm sorry to say, I mean, we got to go.
Okay.
We got two more hours of the show, and you're all free to leave. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Back in a flash.